All right, back on the Young Turks, Jake Uger, Anna Kasparian. And let's be clear on the record here. My cough is Anna's fault.
Okay, but my cough was your fault. You gave me my cough, and then I gave you your cough back to you. Okay, but like you don't understand. Like, I suffered for such a long time. I couldn't even sleep at
How
night.
Do you know that was? I didn't even have a cough before.
What do you mean? You always have a cough, and
I charge you with fraud.
Okay, stop. Don't talk in my direction, please. Talk at the camera.
Talk to the hand. People. Talk to the hand. Talk to the camera. Okay. All right. Anyways, we're doing a poll. No, I'm kidding. We're not doing a poll. All right. A couple of quick tweets for you guys as usual. Tenside Badger writes in, Jane Sanders might not be good at management. And which political office is she running for again? Oh, right, none. Okay. And by the way, New York Times done a lot of investigations into the competence of Melania Trump and her management skills, right? Oh, no, they haven't. Oh, that's out of bounds, right? That John, we can't talk about their family members. Huh, that's interesting. Okay, Ryan Zephyr. Of course, the Democratic Party are going to be the biggest Bernie attackers. With friends like these, you don't need enemies. I'm a derpy panda says, this is how much Democrats hate progressives. They'll side with Trump people to destroy Bernie. Yeah, what I could swear that I saw signs about resisting. But when it comes to attacking Bernie, all of a sudden, a lot of Democrats are not resisting Trump. Mm-hmm. They're aiding and abetting Trump. They don't want to do it on the record because then they'll get caught. But oh, you need an anonymous source to a story. To be fair, the New York Times did not have a Democratic anonymous source. The one guy that was on the record was a media strategist who works for Bloomberg and Democrats as well. But other stories have. Then they'll come in and put a couple of shivs in Bernie when you're not looking. All right. Anyway, the W Do writes in. Well, that's because the establishment Dems already chosen their 2020 candidates, and Bernie isn't one of them.
It's so pathetic. And I get it, like their jobs are on the line, right? They're
That's
establishment
right.
Democrats, and they don't care about what's best for the country or what's best for the people. What they care about is what's best for them and their pocketbooks. And yes, I know that people don't carry pocketbooks anymore, but you guys get what I'm saying. It sounds better than like wallets, or I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's super frustrating, and I'm super afraid that we're just gonna have a repeat during the 2020 election.
No, we're not. We're going to have something much worse.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. But this time, a little different, with a little twist ending. This
Can you just get me like lethally sick instead?
Yeah. No. Don't worry. This time we win.
Okay.
Trust me. Let's walk with me. Okay. Anyway, for the moment being, justicedemocrats.com/win because we need to show Democrats how to actually fight and how to actually win. If our progressive candidates win, then they have no excuses left. Okay, besides which, who cares about their excuses? We'll just replace them. Okay, let's keep going.
All right. A fatal police shooting in Minneapolis is making headlines not only in the United States, but also in Australia, because it involved a woman who came here to the United States from Australia in order to marry her fiance. Justine Damon was her name, and she was a yoga and meditation teacher. And this case is very, very low on details. Very little details have been reported by the cops involved, and people are extremely upset and angry about how this situation went down. But here's what we do know. She actually called the cops for help because she believed that there was a possible assault in the alley near her home. The call for help came in just before 11 p.m. Saturday night. Two Minneapolis Police Department officers went to an alley near her home in the Fulton neighborhood. Now, three people with knowledge of the incident told the Star Tribune that the responding officers pulled into the alley behind Damon's home. The woman, who was wearing pajamas, approached the driver's side door and was talking to the driver. The officer in the passenger seat shot Damon through the driver's side door, the three people told the newspaper. So we don't know what prompted them to do that. What we do know is that she is not a violent person, she did not have a gun, and she was the person who called the cops to report a possible assault in the alley.
Okay, think about how dangerous that is in not only are you shooting and killing someone, that used to be a really, really important thing back in the day, but you're also shooting through your partner.
I know.
To hit her, okay? But in Minneapolis, we know that there are no consequences for cops killing people. So Philando Castile's was just shot and killed. We saw it on tape. We saw what happened. And officer was told, hey, I have a legal gun. Don't worry. Make sure you get it, etc. And he shot and killed the guy anyway. And he got away with it. Totally acquitted. So cops think, I mean, I guess the downside is somebody's dead, whatever. But I'm never going to get punished. Now, did the guy consciously think that? We don't know yet, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the cops are busy grilling him right now as we speak, because they love to grill their own. They don't care about the blue line at all. They just treat them as common criminals when they kill citizens. Slash, they never do that. Anyway, but in the back of his mind, all the cops know, I will almost never suffer any consequences. Like shooting someone used to be a gigantic deal. And this is why we told you in other stories, people are starting to worry about calling the cops.
Yeah, I think, look, there are so many negative ramifications to stories just like this one. There's this distrust of cops, and that, you know, unfortunately works as a negative for good cops out there, law-abiding cops who actually do want to protect and serve. And so every once in a while when you come across a story where there's someone who's innocent but they run away from the cops and then that leads to a shooting, people will say, like, why are they running away from the cops? What's the issue? If they're not guilty of anything, why would they run away? And it's because of this distrust. People are fearful. People don't want to call cops for help. And it's because of really tragic stories like this one. Now, again, we don't know what kind of words were exchanged. We don't know what happened. Again, very little details to this story as of now.
She might have disrespected one of them.
Who knows what happened? But obviously, we don't ever agree that disrespecting a cop warrants them shooting and killing someone. Now, here's another element to the story that's, in my opinion, very interesting. So neither of the responding officers had turned on their body cameras before the shooting. The squad car camera did not capture the incident either.
What an unbelievable coincidence. I bet that'll make accountability easy. Oh no, it'll make it super hard. And given the track record of cops getting acquitted on charges with no video at all, it'll be just their word against no one, because the other person is dead. Dead men tell no tales. So what a shocking coincidence. They're all supposed to have their body cameras on. After the Philando Castile shooting, it is mandatory that they have their body cameras on. But golly gee willikers, they say they didn't have them on.
Also, please keep in mind that she is at least the 23rd woman fatally shot by an officer this year. And that only accounts for over 4% of all fatal police shootings this year alone. So usually these police shootings disproportionately impact males. But one thing that I do really want to bring up, and I think it's important, is that oftentimes when we talk about the issue of police brutality, because of the fact that it disproportionately impacts minorities, it turns into a race issue, right? A racial issue. And one thing that I've said over and over again, and I really want to reiterate it right now, it goes further than a race issue. Yes, it disproportionately impacts minorities, but it impacts every single one of us. When we embolden bad cops to behave this way, when we let them get away with this type of behavior, it doesn't just impact people that you don't care about and you don't think about. It impacts every single one of us. This is an Australian woman, okay, who teaches meditation and yoga here in the United States. She was known as a loving person, a caring person, a passionate person, not a violent person at all. People are reeling about this story and they're angry. And what's interesting is everyone's angry. No one's looking at her record and talking about, oh, but maybe she smoked marijuana once and maybe that justifies his behavior. No, no one's talking about that. This was, from what we know so far, an unjustified murder of a woman. And the same is true of all the other minorities that we covered. Again, this impacts every single one of us. We need to reel these cops back in, do better training, and actually punish them when they murder and kill unarmed individuals.
And so whether it's murder will be adjudicated, maybe if they ever go to court. But it is shooting and killing someone. There's no question about that. And to Anna's point, Nikema Levy-Pounds says, look, when we were saying that they are doing this to our fathers, our sons, our brothers, sisters, and mothers, what we were trying to tell you is if they do this to us, they will do to you next. You know that old poem about first they came for the trade unionists, and I wasn't a trade unionist. So I'm both going to be softer and tougher on the cops. I don't know if the guy who shot Philando Castile is a bad guy. I don't know if the guy who shot Justine Damon in this case is a bad person. What I'm worried about is the training. They're telling the cops, be afraid of everything. Never, ever, ever take a risk of anything ever hurting you. Protecting the citizens is like your 187th priority, okay? Protecting you is 1 through 186. Oh, my job's to get home at night. No, it's not. It's actually literally not your job. Your job is to protect the community. That's why we gave you a gun and a badge. So there's guns everywhere, to be fair to the cops. So what happens? This is what we told you would happen. They shoot, and then on top of that, we say, don't worry, you'll almost never go to prison for shooting someone if you're a cop. So you have now incentivized them to shoot people because there's no consequences, and you train them that they should be scared of everything and not care about the citizens. And yes, you did. It is the training. By the way, her stepson to be, the person she was about to get married, her stepson of course loved her and said, quote, America sucks.
Actually, we have his video and it's really powerful. Can we toss it up for a second? Let's go to the video.
My mom is dead because the police officer shot her for reasons I don't know, and I demand answers. And if anybody can help, just call the police and demand answers. I'm so done with all this violence. It's so much bullshit. America sucks. These cops need to get trained differently.
Zach, can you share what you know about the situation?
I just know that she heard a sound in the alley, so then she called the police. And the cops showed up. And she was a very passionate woman. And she probably, she thought there was like something bad was happening. And then next thing I know, they take my best friend's life. So I'm just done.
And
fuck the police.
Zach, you've
some
been
of you are good, but like I'm just
with
done.
The police,
I'm and so done.
They're not answering your questions.
This has to stop. This has to stop.
So I'm sure that there'll be a lot of right wingers who go, I can't believe he said fuck the police. How dare he? And he said America sucks. Doesn't he know we're number one? How would you react if they killed your mom? So easy to criticize when your mom's not dead in an alleyway. Because she mistakenly thought the cops would help her. And even in the midst of his anger and his grief, he said it's not all the cops, right? Which of course it's not. But we're training them wrong, and he said that, and that's like 100% right. So we have to go back to freeze, you're under arrest. We have to go back to take a second before you shoot and kill someone and end their life. We have to go back to the citizens' lives matter. They matter. The cop lives are not the only thing that matters. Of course we care about cops, they're human beings. But we also care about all of the citizens. So it's gross.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I saw a couple reports, and I mean, one from Daily Mail, and I saw other outlets. The identity of the officer, he's apparently a Somali American, first officer to serve in this precinct. His name is Mohammed Noor. And he only had 2 years of experience. So a lot of people are chalking up saying, oh, this is an inexperienced cop, and he needs maybe more training, and they don't know what happened.
So no, he needs less training.
So this now, because we know the lines of what usually happens, or what we hear the majority of the time, as Anna pointed out, disproportionately happens, we'll see where this one falls
into. No, that's a super interesting question.
It is interesting, because races are reversed in this case.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Oh, and the guy who shot him is Muslim. So look, we are 1,000% consistent. You got to get better training on the cops. So, and when I say better, I don't mean get them even more nervous. And when you and all the trainings around, you're gonna get shot any second. Whenever you see anybody, they're about to shoot you. Just put them down first. Put them down, right? Instead of doing that kind of training, I don't need more of that training. That's what gets people killed. Okay? Teach them these are your citizens. Your job is to protect them. Okay? Your job's not to kill them. It's to protect them. And actually, you have a really dangerous and hard job because you have to risk your life to protect them. So I'm just as furious about this story as any of the cop shootings. But it'll be interesting to see the right wing reaction, because in this case, it's a white woman who's shot and apparently a black Muslim cop who shot her. So we'll see if all of a sudden they're like, well, I mean, this one was bad. I mean, not the other ones, but this one. Okay, we'll see. I don't want to prejudge that. just look at the comments down below.
All right, moving on to other news. BuzzFeed has published an explosive report detailing accusations against artist R. Kelly and how he allegedly is running a cult that has held several women, young women, captive. Now, the story starts by discussing a young girl, 19-year-old, who wanted to be a musical artist, went to one of his shows, met R. Kelly, and then all of a sudden, according to her parents, was brainwashed into cutting off all ties and communication with the parents and living with R. Kelly. However, it's not just one woman or one man's allegations against him. There are several people who have corroborated these allegations against R. Kelly, and he has responded to them. We'll get to his response in just a second. But first, let me give you some of the details. So three former members of Kelly's inner circle, Cheryl Mack, Kitty Jones, and Asante McGee, said six women live in properties rented by Kelly in Chicago and the Atlanta suburbs, and he controls every aspect of their lives, dictating what they eat, how they dress, when they bathe, when they sleep, and how they engage in sexual encounters that he records. By the way, there was an audio recording that one of the women had taken of an interaction with R. Kelly that was also given to BuzzFeed, and BuzzFeed said that his comments and the way that he was engaging with the young woman are in line with the accusations against him. Now, the women in Kelly's entourage initially think, this is R. Kelly, I'm gonna live a lavish lifestyle. No, you have to ask for food, you have to ask to go use the bathroom. Kelly is a master at mind control, he is a puppet master. That's according to Cheryl Mack, who was one of the people associated with him. Also a 31-year-old, they also listed the type of women who are living with him currently. They detailed a 31-year-old so-called den mother who trained newcomers on how Kelly liked to be pleasured sexually. She had been best friends since high school with the girl in the videotape for which Kelly was tried in 2008. Of course, that was the tape where he allegedly urinated on a 14-year-old. She recently parted ways with Kelly, these sources say. Also, a recent arrival is a 19-year-old model who has been photographed in public with Kelly and named on music gossip websites. That's a rarity among the women in his circle since he usually keeps them private. There's also an Atlanta songwriter who he began a relationship with around 2009 when she was 19. She's 26 now. And an 18-year-old singer from Polk County, Florida. Max said the Florida singer is Kelly's favorite, his number one girl. And
oh, that's what a coincidence. She's the youngest one.
Yeah. Huh. So there's more details about the way he allegedly treats them, but I want you to jump in.
Yeah. So look, this is a very hard situation because when adults make a decision to stay in a situation like this, there's not a lot you can do. And so if your kids get caught up in a cult and they're of adult age, oh man, it is a nightmare.
Because you can't file a missing persons report. Cops can't really investigate the situation the way they would if someone was truly missing. The parents of these girls know where they are, but they're not minors, they're adults, and it appears that they consented to be there. So there's very little that police can do.
Almost certainly they went in with consent.
Right.
And now it's hard to say, well, he was controlling their mind, we think, so they no longer have consent. That's a hell of a thing to prove. So on the other hand, you and I, being outside of this crazy situation in his house, can tell, no. You're telling people when they can go to the bathroom, when they can't, and all these specific instructions, and you're using the girl whose best friend was allegedly peed on
during a sex act.
And filmed. All these years, it was filmed. It's on tape, allegedly.
It's amazing how he got out of that.
Yeah, because he's a celebrity. These celebrities drive me nuts.
Yeah.
So she's still with him all the way to the age of 31, training these other girls. And he's got so much money. He'll probably get away with all this too. And If you got money in America, well, good news for you is you got a whole different justice system, and so, you got resources at your command. And if you're a celebrity, everything's gonna be okay. I see Chris Brown everywhere. Everybody's forgotten. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Now, here are some more details of what's alleged against him, and then I'll read you his response. So he allegedly confiscates the women's cell phones so they cannot contact their friends and family. He gives them new phones that they are only allowed to use to contact him or others with his permission. Kelly films his sexual activities, McGee and Jones said, and shows the videos to men in his circle.
Oh, he's such a bad guy. I was wondering why he videotaped. As I'm looking at the story, I'm like, when do you have time to look at the videos later? There's like six women in the house. Like, what are you doing? No, no, no. He's showing it to his friends, bragging.
Right. And, you know, the allegations against him, you know, are somewhat similar to the allegations against Bill Cosby in that all the women who end up getting involved with him and living with him are women who wanted to pursue the music industry for their careers. And so it starts off, and it's interesting because it starts off with the parents being very involved, making sure that they're there for every phone call and the meetings and all that. And then all of a sudden, R. Kelly will say, hey, I want to take her on tour with me. So she kind of sees how this industry is.
No, don't do it.
And before they know it, you know, all of a sudden communication is allegedly cut off with their daughters. Also, Kelly almost always tells the women to dress in jogging suits because, quote, he doesn't want their figures to be exposed. He doesn't want them to look appealing. Kelly would make the girls turn around and face the wall in their jogging suits because he doesn't want them to be looked at by anyone else. That was one of the other allegations by a woman that was associated with him and who's now speaking out against him.
He doesn't want them seen by anyone else unless he recorded them having a sex and then shows it to his friends. Like, hey, don't look at their ankles when you're outside, but hey, you want to see me having sex with them if you're a buddy of mine?
This is insane. So cops have done two welfare checks. The first welfare check, they show up and no one's there, okay? So they leave. The second welfare check, they show up and everyone's saying, no, 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 everything's okay. We're happy to be here, no problems whatsoever. And again, it's really hard for authorities to do anything if you have adult women saying that they're not being held against their will, that they're there because they want to be there. So, you know, I want to make sure I give you that part of the story as well. Now, a rep for the singer tells TMZ that Mr. Robert Kelly is both alarmed and disturbed by the recent revelations attributed to him. Mr. Kelly unequivocally denies such allegations or accusations and will work diligently and forcibly to pursue his accusers and clear his name.
During the height of the Iraq war, I said if someone I know and love wanted to go sign up to serve in the military, I'd tackle them. Because not for that war, okay? You're gonna go get your legs blown off or die for that nonsense. So now I have almost a similar rule about about the music industry. I'm serious, but especially if you're a woman. Okay, by the way, note to parents, if R. Kelly says, I'd like your to take your daughter on a tour, the answer is hell no, under no circumstances, okay? So right now, if they're all in the house saying, yeah, everything's hunky-dory, probably not a damn thing you could do about it. And if he didn't do the things about like taking their phones away and doing all the other manipulation, and you gotta ask me for permission to go to the bathroom and all the other stuff, and they just signed up for, yeah, R. Kelly's famous, and I just wanna have sex with him, and I don't care that there's five other girls here, and I don't care that he's taping it, I don't care about any of that, then that's fine. Maybe it's not our cup of tea, but when you throw in all the other stuff, it's obvious that he's manipulating them. It started as just, hey, he's powerful, he's a celebrity, I like him, whatever, right? Now it's turning to something else.
I mean, just think about where you were when you were 17 or 18 years old. I'm not talking about physically, but mentally, right? And you have these big dreams and you really want to succeed. And then you have this power imbalance where this big celebrity, someone that you aspire to be like, tells you that they can help you out. I mean, there's already a certain level of power and control that he has over these girls, right? And I think it takes an insanely strong-willed person. I think it's almost impossible to find a person who can, you know, say no to that and just be like, it's just easy to be manipulated when you're a young person who desperately wants to establish your career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing on this, if anybody says, I'm gonna take your phone away and they're not your parent, watch out. That means they wanna close you off from the rest of the world, whether it's a girlfriend, boyfriend, or whoever, or a cult leader, or whatever, a religious leader. Don't let them take your phone, don't let them take your passport, Don't let him take anything like that. That means you're in a world of trouble and they're looking to isolate you and control you. So whether it's R. Kelly or anyone else, don't do it. Okay, we gotta take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got more news for you guys, including a redneck revolt, but it might not be what you think it is. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I want to read a couple of poll results for you guys. Should Trump be removed from office if collusion with the Russians is proven regarding the leaked DNC emails? So we asked you guys about that, and I was curious if you guys were going to say yes or no about that. Because I thought a lot of progressives might say, no, it's collusion, but that doesn't mean it's illegal or that he should be removed. And yes, 17% of you said that, no, he should not be removed. But a solid 83% said, no, he should be removed.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, if you prove collusion, which is not necessarily illegal. So that's a big number, and to me that's telling. Okay, that's if you want to keep voting on that, that's tytnetwork.com/remove. And then should the San Francisco cops have fined the skateboarders in that story we did about the skateboarders?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm super curious about this.
I know, that's why we did the poll. Yes is winning at 63%.
What? No way!
Yes. No is at 37%.
Oh my God, I was expecting people to throw feces at us for saying that they should be fined.
I'm sure some have. Luckily, it didn't land.
Because you know, people are like, oh yeah, skateboarders, land of the free, like let them skateboard wherever they want. You know, but
apparently 63% don't say that. Okay, you're going to keep voting on that. tytnetwork.com/skateboard. On the shooting story, I'm a Derpy Panda writes in, multiple choice excuse: A, feared for their lives; B, resisting arrest; C, she was coming at them; D, she wants the drugs. That is almost certainly going to be one or two of those choices that they're going to claim, right? It's almost never anything but those choices as to why they shot someone. Anyway, Phil says, so no one will call the cops, vigilante justice will become the norm, good guys with guns will just murder people. Actually, Phil, there's a story I didn't get to today, maybe I'll do it tomorrow, in Texas. Militias armed, heavily armed, have been showing up at Latino protests.
Oh, great.
And they fancy themselves the good guys. Oh, boy. Okay, Nicholas Burns finally says, oh, boy. Dueling coughs. Here we go. Thinks America are number one at largest prison population in killing civilians, both domestic and foreign. Changes must happen. Anna, you take it away while I cough.
Actually, I have to cough. I'm done. Ann Coulter wanted to show the world just how unlikable she is by ranting against Delta. And usually, I'm in favor of rants against airlines because they make flying a little more difficult than it needs to be. However, Coulter took matters way too far when she decided to lash out on innocent people on the flight that didn't do anything wrong. Now, let me set up the story for you. She's on a flight from LaGuardia Airport in New York to West Palm Beach in Florida. So, relatively short flight. And she had paid $30 extra to get a specific seat on the flight, a seat that has extra leg room and is in an emergency exit row. Now, Coulter went on to complain that Delta moved her and then didn't really give her a reason as to why they moved her. They moved her to another seat that has extra leg room, but it wasn't the specific seat that she wanted, okay? She went on to complain that Delta spends all its money on beautiful aircraft and then hire nurse ratchets as flight attendants and gate agents. So already the insults against people begin, and the first insult goes toward the flight attendants that just wanted to fix this mix up, and I get it, it's a super annoying mix up, right? You pay for an extra seat, you should get that extra seat. But they made a mistake and they tried to make it better.
So far, this is not bad, okay? It's not extra seat, of course, as you explained, it's just extra space in that seat.
Right.
She already got extra space in the new seat, but okay, you're mad. And as you know, I've had my issues with airlines. Yeah. And I think sometimes the flight attendants have been over empowered and go on power trips. So it's possible that this story ends with us agreeing with Ann Coulter, but it's Ann Coulter, so of course she's not going to stop
that. Right, so if she was complaining about not getting the seat that she paid for, I'm on her side. That's super frustrating. But then she goes on to blast people on her social media. So her Twitter account has a little over a million followers, I believe. And she starts insulting the woman that was placed in the seat that she had originally paid for. "Hey Delta, if it was so important for the Dotson-legged woman to take my seat, she should have booked the seat in advance like I did." First of all, maybe she did book that seat, right? Who, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Here's what I do know. The woman who's sitting in that seat is not a bad person, did not go out of their way to make you have a bad flight, right? Like, why are you needlessly insulting this woman?
Then, you guys, can I just say, like, you really, if you're a right winger, you like her. That's like, she's insulting other passengers for no reason.
Yeah.
Personal attacks. She's a person who has some degree of power.
Yeah.
She has wealth and celebrity. That other person is just a regular person. And not only did she attack her appearance,
yeah,
then she took a picture of them.
Right, so I blurred out the photo because I just, we don't need to show the identity of this person. But yeah, so she goes ahead and posts a photo of the woman. Delta didn't give my extra room seat to an air marshal or tall person. Here's the woman given my pre-book seat. Just like,
why are you showing them?
Why would you go out of your way to take pictures of private citizens? I get it, they're in a public place, so there's no reasonable expectation of privacy. But you're needlessly posting their image, or her image specifically, on social media. Like, for what? So they attack her? So they come after her? I don't get what the point is, right? So the airline criticized her for posting derogatory and slanderous comments and photos in social media about its employees and customers. Delta said it was disappointed in Ms. Coulter and called her actions unnecessary and unacceptable. They also refunded her the $30, but she's like, you need to give me $10,000 because it took time for me to find that perfect seat, and time is money. I'm paraphrasing what she tweeted, but she tweeted something to that effect. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, come on.
Of course it's ridiculous.
$10,000.
Oh, you're so precious that, oh my God, you spent an extra minute doing something.
I just feel like
they're all scam artists. She's doing it for attention. She's seeing if she can scam Delta out of some more money because she's a despicable person. And again, if you're, this is the person that you think is your hero, unbelievable. And you wanna, she made people like airlines, like defend airlines, which I thought was unimaginable. Like, Americans generally have a horrible time with these airlines and are so frustrated. She's the only person who could have turned it around. And God bless Delta for actually standing up to her and saying that her actions were unacceptable and only returning the $30. And to the point where I thought, is this a false flag operation? Like, where the airlines hired Ann Coulter to be such a raging fill in the blank jerk, right? That people then go, no, wait a minute, maybe the airlines are not so bad.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, there needs to come a day when Ann Coulter stops this, you know, this characteristic of victimhood. You know, like, when are you gonna stop making yourself a victim, Ann Coulter? When are you gonna start taking responsibility for your life and for your choices? How about that? Like, well, that's the funny thing though, right? First of all, like, she comes off as this insanely whiny brat because it's not like she tweeted a couple of things. She tweeted all weekend long, like, wah, wah, wah. You got another extra leg seat, like extra room for your leg seat. Like, you're fine, I get it. Like, you wanna be comfortable, you got a similar seat, it's not the end of the world. And then to proceed to attack people who haven't done anything wrong, it's freaking ridiculous. And there's the extra layer of the way she reacted to that story of that doctor, that Asian doctor that got dragged off that flight. That was the United flight. Her reaction to that was really interesting. She said, sorry about the dragging, but the convicted pill mill doctor should be deported. But he's been a citizen in the United States since the 1970s. I know you're a citizen, but I'd much rather have you deported.
So now Anna will get to say that to Ann Coulter's face in just a couple of weeks at Politicon, if you want to check that out.
No, I just, homegirl runs around running her mouth about how, oh, Mexicans, you know, they really harm society. We need to preserve our culture. Like, Are you a representation of the type of culture you're trying to preserve? Because if that's the case, you don't make America great. You make America a laughingstock. You're embarrassing, yeah. Right? Like, she has the audacity to run her mouth talking about how terrible Muslims and Mexicans are. You're terrible. Like, I can't even handle hearing her speak. All she does is use hyperbole. She never, ever, ever uses real statistics or facts to back up her anti-immigration BS, right? Yeah. She thinks there's 30 million undocumented immigrants in the country.
Yeah, she just made that up.
She just made it up. No, she cites a ridiculous study that has questionable methodology, to say the least.
No, okay. So look, you get to watch Anna say all that to her face at Politicon. Go to politicon.com/TYT. Just, she happens to be in the news today. That's not certainly not why we're doing the story. But the last thing on Ann Coulter in regards to this story is the story about Dow, the doctor that was dragged out there. If you say a guy who's a US citizen should be deported, after he was assaulted by the airlines and dragged down, they bloodied him. She thinks, but that's awesome, and it's your fault, and you should be deported. Why? And she's so outraged that she got a slightly different seat. What's the difference between Ann Coulter and that doctor? No, she is a flat out indisputable racist. If that was a white person, there's no way she would have said he should be deported. Deported to where? Okay? And Dr. Dow lives in America and is a US citizen. Deported to where? Yeah. But in her mind, she's not white, so deport him to wherever, because only whites matter. Ann Coulter, you're an unbearable scum of the earth racist. You're what's wrong with America. Okay, I think that was clear. I gotta take a break here for the online audience. We'll be right back, as you guys know. And for everybody, you can catch the whole show, including the online part and the post game, if you get membership, tytnetwork.com/join. Free TYT is the promo code this month for free trial membership. We'll see you in a minute. All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Don't you love how quick that last break is?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go.
All right. Low-income housing is not only beginning to be a real problem in the United States, but everyone is starting to see symptoms of it, and Los Angeles is a prime example of that. Now, homelessness has gotten so bad in the US that we are seeing more and more RVs or mobile homes popping up on streets. And as a result, businesses and residents are calling tow companies or the city to have these RVs impounded because they're taking up a lot of space, and in a lot of cases, they're not in great condition. Now, according to the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, 2,363 people across the city live in motorhomes. That's a 20% increase from 2016. And to make the problem worse, the city had contracts with three towing companies that specialized in impounding large or heavy vehicles. And in this case, it turns out that two of them have decided to stop doing business with the city because of how terrible these RVs are and how terrible the condition of these RVs are. So the contractors say that the campers and RVs are often so dilapidated or damaged that they're in danger of falling apart while being towed. The vehicles frequently contain overflowing or leaking sewer tanks and can come with pests such as fleas, ticks, mice, and rats. Now, the only company that's still impounding these RVs is Pepe's Towing, and they said that the conditions of these RVs are so bad that they've had to basically bomb for fleas every Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get much worse. So you have RV encampments, and then you also have the tent encampments, which used to be, unique to Skid Row, but they're also popping up throughout Los Angeles in areas that you hadn't seen them before. Also, the city of Los Angeles impounded approximately 1,000 motorhomes and trailers in 2016, but only about half of them were claimed. People who are living in their RVs usually don't have the resources to go pay to get them out of the impound lot.
Mm-hmm.
So these companies are like, why are we gonna impound these vehicles if we're not gonna be able to recoup the costs?
So I wish somebody had warned me about the housing problem in LA.
Look, I'm bringing this up because it's gonna continue to become more and more of a problem, right? So for those of you who are lucky enough to afford rent or afford buying a property, Consider the fact that even if you live in the nicest neighborhoods, all of a sudden you're going to start noticing, you know, an ever-growing homeless population. And I say that as someone who, you know, grew up in the San Fernando Valley. Very rare to see homeless people in the valley. It's a suburban area of Los Angeles. And now all of a sudden you see homeless people sleeping on the sidewalks pretty much, you know, everywhere. Every single part of the San Fernando Valley. Same of really nice places like West Hollywood. West Hollywood used to have some homeless people. Now there's a ton of homeless people. And it's going to continue getting worse. And just to show you how big of a problem this is, not just in Los Angeles, but nationwide, there was a study done to look at the lack of affordable housing in the US. This was done by the National Low Income Housing Coalition. And the reports have shown that the minimum housing wage is rising year over year. The organization defines a housing wage as a full-time earnings per hour needed to rent, not buy, an affordable home. This year, they found that the national housing wage is $21.21 per hour for a two-bedroom rental home, nearly three times higher than the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 per hour. And so a lot of times people will say, well, if you're living in a big city and it's expensive, just move to a city that's not expensive, where housing is a lot cheaper. But that means that you not only have to relocate to find a home, you also need to find a new job. And oftentimes the jobs in those areas don't even pay enough for you to afford the housing there. So again, this is continuing to be more and more of a problem. No one's really coming up with solutions, and anyone who has the audacity to bring up the issue gets brushed aside as someone who's just whining and spoiled.
Yeah, I don't think those folks in the RVs are spoiled.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you talk about the fleas, et cetera, that the whole point there is look at the dire straits that they're in. And so things have gotten bad for a lot of folks. And it's a combination of factors. It's not just that housing is expensive, it's also that we don't make nearly enough money. The median wages have flatlined in this country for decade after decade. By the way, productivity has not. And so the difference is about $12 trillion between productivity and wages. And that went, that got redistributed to the top. And so now there are consequences to that. And I guess some folks are thrilled, like I bought off a politician and I got lower taxes. And now I have a larger mansion. But when your mansion is surrounded by RVs of people who are in dire straits, because they're making minimum wage, that's still $7.25. That's unbelievable. In LA, that's higher, but that's the nationwide one. And it is, that is miserably low. It has not kept up with inflation or productivity or any of those factors. Then this is what happens. And then you're beginning to get two different Americas. And I know we already have a two-tier justice system. And now we have this. So even if you don't care about anybody else and you have no empathy for them, it's going to affect you too.
It will, absolutely. All right, final story, an interesting one that made me like some rednecks. they refer to themselves as rednecks, so I'm not trying to be insulting. All right. In middle America, there is a new effort to resist the Trump organization or Trump administration, and it's known as the Redneck Revolt. And I'm being a little unfair by calling them new since they've been around since 2009. But because of the Trump administration, they are feeling more reinvigorated and they are resisting in their own way. Now, the Redneck Revolt is interesting because they want similar things to what we discuss here on the show, but they're very much in favor of guns and what they consider redneck culture. So they consider themselves an anti-racist, pro-gun, pro-labor organization. They say, if you haven't noticed, we aren't liberals. You know, if you keep going further left, eventually you go left enough to get your guns back. So they're very much in favor of guns. The organization's principles are distinctly left-wing, though. They're against white supremacy, they're against capitalism and the nation state, and they're in support of the marginalized. So not only do they want to resist Trump, but they also want to fight back against some of the racism and racist rhetoric that we've been experiencing in the US lately.
Look, this goes to the tradition that's in the South. That people have forgotten about. And I've talked about this in previous shows. Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, almost all the old country stars were what we would call progressives today. but significantly so. But mainly they were rebels. So that's why maybe these guys aren't calling themselves liberals. But in Johnny Cash's album cover, he's sticking the middle finger out to the man. And he was there at Folsom Prison, and he's doing this, and he did a concert for prisoners. And he writes about the downtrodden. And so what these guys are saying is the same thing. We're here for the marginalized, we're here for the real people. And they got marginalized by several different factors. And maybe that's why they're, you know, again, actually not liberals, because, and I know the words get a little funny here, liberals, progressives, we call ourselves progressives, and there's some distinctions. I don't want to get too long into that road, but my point is that you could be against big government and also against big business. And you could see that there are problems with big government, and that some of those are created by the fact that we're doing crony capitalism where big business has bought off government, right? And so this is a tradition that is very old in the South, and it's great to see it rise up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Southern tradition I can get behind.
So I want to leave you with a quote from Dave Strano, who's part of the Redneck Revolt. He says, "The history of the white working class has been a history of being exploited, being an exploited people. However, we've been an exploited people that further exploits other exploited people. While we've been living in tenements and slums for centuries, we've also been used by the rich to attack our neighbors, coworkers, and friends of different colors, religions, and nationalities." Oh, like the awareness there is lit. Okay, I love the awareness there because it's true. I mean, we allow the most powerful people in the country, the real elite, to distract us with infighting rather than focusing on fighting the system that continues to suppress us, right? Max Neely, who is also part of the Redneck Revolt, says, "I grew up playing in the woods, floating coolers of beer down a river, shooting off fireworks, just generally raising hell, all that kind of stuff. Things most people would consider a part of redneck culture. We're trying to acknowledge the ways we've made mistakes and bought into white supremacy and capitalism, but also give ourselves an environment in which it's okay to celebrate redneck culture." Do you, boo?
And you don't have to be from any particular place to be a progressive. And these guys actually, in a lot of ways, sound more progressive or more liberal than I am, certainly, because I think capitalism's okay. It depends on how you do it. You're not crony capitalism and not corporatism, right? But he's right, of course. Just because you're in the South doesn't mean that you should buy into what they tell you Southerners need to think.
Right.
And he's right that it's as old as time itself, that if you're in a bad spot, somebody above you will tell you, don't look up, look down.
That's right.
They'll tell you your problems are down below. And they'll tell you that the powerless are the ones that cause your problems, not the powerful. It's meant to distract you so you never solve your actual problems, because they're up, they're not down. And so if these guys recognize that, as they seem to, God bless their hearts.
Yep. All right, that does it.
Okay, in the post game, apparently even more anger from Manicure Spirit.
No, not anger. I want to share a story of where a good deed did not go unpunished.
So it got punished.
It got punished hard.
All right.
Just want to share it with the audience.
Okay, that sounds chipper. Okay.
Remember, I'm not angry though.
Not angry. TYTnetwork.com/join. Again, it's free month if you sign up now. That's promo code FREETYT. So we'll see all you guys there, okay?
Bye-bye.